It never occurred to me that reading the Haggadah this year would trigger a deep dive on a theme such as envy. What does envy have to do with the classic Passover themes of freedom, the power of storytelling, the lessons of liberation, and so on? Not much, but envy showed up on my radar when someone at our Seder read this passage from a Mark Twain essay written in 1899. If the statistics are right, the Jews constitute but 1% of the human race. It suggests a nebulous dim puff of stardust lost in the blaze of the Milky Way. Properly, the Jew ought hardly to be heard of, but he is heard of, has always been heard of. He is as prominent on the planet as any other people, and his commercial importance is extravagantly out of proportion to the smallness of his bulk. His contributions to the world's list of great names in literature, science, art, music, finance, medicine, and abstruse learning are also way out of proportion to the weakness of his numbers. He has made a marvelous fight in the world, in all the ages, and has done it with his hands tied behind him. He could be vain of himself, and be excused for it. The Egyptian, the Babylonian, and the Persian rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, then faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek and the Roman followed, and made a vast noise, and they are gone. Other peoples have sprung up and held their torch high for a time, but it burned out, and they sit in twilight now, or have vanished. The Jew saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert and aggressive mind. All things are mortal but the Jew, all other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality? At a time when we're so anxious about the rise of anti-Semitism, it was stunning to hear such an unequivocal and eloquent reminder of the value of the Jews. The passage felt like a sequel to the Passover story, telling us what the Jews did after. They were liberated from slavery. Through centuries of persecution and pogroms culminating in the Holocaust, the Jews struggled, adapted, persevered, and still managed to contribute to the world, with his hands tied behind him. The Jew saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts. It's a miraculous story, which naturally attracts envy. Have you noticed, though, that we almost never mention envy when dissecting the rise in anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism? We talk about hate, hypocrisy, lies, double standards, scapegoating, conspiracy theories, and so on, but never envy. Why is this relevant? Because, for starters, being envied reminds us that we are the people Twain wrote about. People envy what is good, not what is bad. But, bad, is all that people hear about Jews these days. Our haters have turned us into the world's ultimate villains. We've been so demonized, people may have forgotten we're still worthy of admiration. It's one of the sinister accomplishments of the Jewish hate movement. It brought out the bad in. Smothered the good. No wonder envy never comes up. Who would envy a demon? Jew haters must know they can't afford to expose their silent envy toward Jews. It would undermine their whole movement. To be seen as envious of those they despise must be the nightmare of Jew haters everywhere. Alas, there's another reason no one talks about envy. The movement of social justice has sanitized it. Social scientists' silence on envy is no mere oversight, Stephen F. Hayward and Linda Aldino write in National Affairs. Today, envy is the silent partner of radical egalitarianism and is ubiquitously leveraged in the promotion of social justice. Social scientists by and large are committed to such egalitarianism, and therefore either ignore envy as a significant social force or seek to cast it as morally defensible. Envy has been submerged by a progressive agenda that classifies people as either oppressors or oppressed. If successful people are the oppressors, they're not worthy of envy. The real heroes are the oppressed, because they are the victims. This is doubly bad for Jews. We're maligned as villains regardless of status, and if successful, we're maligned as oppressors. We're never allowed to be victims. As a result, we defend ourselves against negatives. Instead of, Jews are good, we're trapped into, Jews are not bad. We're not oppressors. It's not genocide. It's not apartheid. Anti-Semitism is not acceptable. Our contributions to the world's list of great names in literature, science, art, music, finance, and medicine that Twain wrote about? That is suffocated. It never comes up. Maybe that's why I couldn't get the Twain passage out of my mind. It spoke to the madness of our time. Here was a testament to a people that gives so much to the world and yet has become the world's most maligned people. Our mistake is that we've narrowed our fight to just the hate. If we can only end Jew hatred, we tell ourselves, we'll be okay. But all that does is continue to associate Jews with a poison. We are no longer the extraordinary people in Twain's essay. We've been reduced to the people who are unfairly hated and are fighting to end that hate. We've allowed our humility to get the better of us. We've forgotten who we are and our value to the world. Because the Jewish tradition values modesty and self-reflection, we assume it's not cool to talk about ourselves. Our enemies, however, have no problem talking about us. We may be reluctant to blow our own horn, but they have no hesitation to castigate us as monsters. Maybe we ought to start emulating non-Jews like Mark Twain, who seem to appreciate us better than we do. In that spirit, I've compiled a brief list of what some of them have said about Jews. It's worth a read. Leo Tolstoy. What is this Jew whom they have never succeeded in enticing with all the enticements in the world, whose oppressors and persecutors only suggested that he deny and disown his religion and cast aside the faithfulness of his ancestors? The Jew is the symbol of eternity. He is the one who for so long had guarded the prophetic message and transmitted it to all mankind. A people such as this can never disappear. The Jew is eternal. He is the embodiment of eternity. Winston Churchill. Some people like Jews and some do not, but no thoughtful man can doubt the fact that they are beyond all question the most formidable and the most remarkable race which has ever appeared in the world. Hillary Clinton. I was born just a few months before Israel declared independence. My generation came of age admiring the talent and tenacity of the Israeli people, who coaxed a dream into reality out of the harsh desert soil. We watched a small nation fight fearlessly for its right to exist and build a thriving, raucous democracy. John Adams. In an 1808 letter criticizing the depiction of Jews by the French Enlightenment philosopher Voltaire, Adams expressed his respect for ancient Jewry. Adams wrote of Voltaire, "How is it possible that he should represent the Hebrews in such a contemptible light? They are the most glorious nation that ever inhabited this earth. The Romans and their empire were but a bauble in comparison of the Jews. They have given religion to three quarters of the globe and have influenced the affairs of mankind more, and more happily, than any other nation ancient or modern." Thomas Cahill. The Jews started it all, and by it, I mean so many of the things we care about, the underlying values that make all of us, Jew and Gentile, believer and atheist, tick. Without the Jews, we would see the world through different eyes, hear with different ears, even feel with different feelings. And we would set a different course for our lives. Their worldview has become so much a part of us that at this point it might as well have been written into our cells as a genetic code. James D. Russell. Jews were an integral part of the American Revolution and the founding of the United States. They weren't outsiders scheming from the shadows. They were patriots who risked everything, fortunes, lives, families, when the colonies had barely 2,000 to 3,000 Jews among 2.5 million people. That's less than 0.1% of the population. Yet their contributions were outsized, documented in letters, congressional records, and battlefield reports. They fought, they funded, they supplied, and they helped win a war that created the first modern republic to guarantee religious liberty to all. Martin Luther King Jr. Probably more than any other ethnic group, the Jewish community has been sympathetic and has stood as an ally to the Negro in his struggle for justice. These are not mere opinions meant to flatter. They speak to an extraordinary story of an extraordinary people, a story that is not being taught to Jews or non-Jews, a story that we have allowed envious Jew haters to bury in a landfill of venom. Bring back that extraordinary story and the truth comes out. They hate us not because we're bad but because we're good. They hate us because we work hard and are successful. They hate us because they can't be us. Not all Jew hatred stems from envy, but it's true enough that we can highlight envy to expose and disempower Jew haters who would destroy us, revitalize the Jewish brand, and help us rebuild Jewish self-esteem. Jews and Israel are far from perfect, but we're also very far from the demonic image slapped on us by our enemies. Indeed, had Mark Twain lived to see Israel, there's little doubt he would have noted its miraculous success and contributions, way out of proportion to the weakness of his numbers. It's time we embrace that positive truth. Fighting negatives is no longer enough. Of course, it goes without saying that we must continue to protect Jews wherever they're vulnerable and use every means at our disposal to fight for our rights and punish violent Jew haters. But we must aim higher. We must work collectively toward an inspiring future that will reassert the extraordinary Jewish value to humanity that Mark Twain wrote about. True liberation from slavery will happen when we regain our mojo as strong, successful Jews who don't apologize for being strong and successful.